My guest today carries one of the, if not the most recognizable names in Galesburg sports history. But Taylor Thiel didn't just rest on having a famous last name. Like his grandfather John, father Zach, uncle Mark, Taylor etched his own name in Silver Streaks lore. Taylor Thiel was a starter and major contributor on the state runner-up 1997-98 Silver Streaks, widely regarded as one of the best teams in the storied history of Galesburg basketball. A modest scorer, a deadly three-point shooter, and a team leader on and off the court, his coach Mike Miller says the 98 Streaks would not have been the team they were without Taylor Thiel, and that's a thought echoed by the star of the team, Joey Range. We'll dig into that magical 98 season in a minute here. But Taylor was more than just a basketball player. He was a three-year letter winner for the Streaks baseball team and also a member of the 94 GHS Hall of Fame boys golf team. He went on to be a Division III All-American catcher at Monmouth College, setting single season and all-time records for home runs, a career which landed him enshrinement into Fighting Scott's M Club Hall of Fame. A Texas resident since 2006, Taylor now resides in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, where he's a senior market sales agent for Homeward, a private equity real estate company. He joins me today from his home in Midlothian, Texas. Welcome to Galesburg in Focus.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the family heritage. You know, did you feel any pressure being a Thiel? I mean, you were playing in a gym that carried your last name.
I think back to it, and I think even during the season, you know, we knew we were good. And then when I got to the varsity level, the gym was renamed in 92, so I didn't get up there until, the 96-97 season as far as the varsity level. So I think I remember, initially there was an article written about, hey, the Thiel name's ringing in the PA system again, and they did a nice little article on that. But, just being around it, being around my family, the Thiel, the competitiveness of it all, it was special, but it didn't add any pressure to me, because I looked at it as, hey, that was – what my grandfather accomplished. My dad was fortunate enough to play for him. My uncle was fortunate enough to play for him. And I was just glad to, be able to do it. Obviously it holds a special meaning playing in Thiel Gym with the last name of Thiel. So I didn't take it for granted by any means. Just looking at it as, hey, I'm just glad to be able to do it.
Yeah. So I think you were probably, about 8 years old when your grandfather, John Thiel, passed away. What do you remember about him?
Ultimate competitor. I mean, I can remember even when we moved back to Illinois, we had been in the Florida area with my family. When we moved back to Illinois, we were actually in the Bloomington area. So I got to spend some time there towards the end with him for a couple of years. And I can remember just going out to the driveway. He still had the hoop, and he would still, he would put his head down and he'd make like 100 free throws in a row. With me and my brother just being awe. And I don't know if it was 100, but back then when you're 8 years old, you're thinking, man, this is amazing. You can do anything. But he was still a competitor then. And my dad and my uncles, they always echoed that. He from stories of him playing in practice, against the high school players, everything from he was a good competitor in tennis. He won a city championship in that, from what I remember. Badminton, he was good at. Darts, he was good at. He was just that ultimate competitor. It definitely carried down to my dad and my uncles. And so I was growing up in that competitive nature as well. It was a lot to be said for, having the John Thiel lineage, and athleticism and competitiveness, in the family. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I think you were about 8 years old, but what do you remember besides him being competitive? What was his personality like?
I would say that obviously you hear stories of how outspoken he was, but I remember him as kind of, almost being just kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. He had a commanding presence where, like, if he was speaking, you were listening.
Yeah.
We had family dinners. He was the head of the table, and our elbows weren't on the table, as we were eating dinner. I didn't get as much. I didn't get to see him coach, obviously, and he was out of sports at that time. But you could tell, like, the respect that you had to show around him. He was kind of old school in that manner. Of just being, the respectful individual and reserved and we kind of grew up around when we were around him, we had to be that way. So,
yeah. So, Joey Range tells me that your dad, Zach, was, quote, just as responsible for the 98 team success as anybody. Tell me how your dad impacted the growth of you and teammates like Joey.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we were growing up at a time before like there was like a huge AAU summer league, all this travel sports stuff that would happen. So, you know, at the time we had the two junior highs, Churchill and Lombard. And you know, starting in seventh grade when we were all there, you know, my dad was like, "Hey, we got to kind of help build this program," you know, and we had been friends and played against each other and competed. So, you know, he would go to Coach Erickson at Lombard, and then we had Coach Cheeseman over at Churchill, and just say, "Hey, you know, you mind? I'm going to put this group together of several guys off of each team, and I'm going to run them to some tournaments, and you know, open the gyms up, and we'll play." So we instead of getting to high school and then starting, you know, we kind of got a little jump on things, and we're able to go compete in some tournaments while we were still in junior high, and kind of, you know, build that bond as teammates. Knowing that we were going to be heading into high school together and you know, having some decent athletes and decent players. So yeah, I mean, my dad, you know, really, he enjoyed it, right? He wanted to, you know, coach and see his son do well. And, you know, obviously when you got an athlete that's known in the area as Joey Range, and it kind of made it, you know, appealing to be able to be around that and just kind of, you know, keep things going. But I mean, I remember going to a tournament when we knew we were like, "Hey, we got something special here." We went over to Bloomington, I think it was. And we had beat the it was the state of Iowa. So this is like an all-star team, their AAU state championship team, and we beat them from Galesburg. So I mean, that was like right there, we're like, "Man, we just beat the state all-star team," and we were kind of like, okay, because it kind of put us in a frame like, "Oh, we're good," you know. We started that mindset early, and obviously with Joey, you know, at that age, of course, he was a dominant player as he was all through high school. So it was a lot of fun. We got some travel experience early, and just building those bonds, you know, before we even got to high school, I think made a big impact on us.
Who else was playing with you at that time?
Yeah, we had you know, of course, it was so we the Lombard guys. I think we had Joey. We took Steve Glasgow, and then you know, it was from our team. It was like me, Churchill. We had some guys that didn't end up, you know, getting all the way through high school with us, but there was a couple guys in Lombard. It was like Grant Mahon, who ended up moving to Arkansas. We had at Churchill, we had Dietrich Pointer, who did play a few couple years in high school, didn't make it through high school with us. But it was just kind of a combination of like the, you know, the top five, six guys on each team. And then we kind of rotated. If somebody couldn't make the, you know, a tournament or something like that, we just kind of filled in. And we even we took I think there was a couple times we even substituted a couple people, you know, that got to play with us from other cities. But yeah, so just the main core, you know, me, Steve, Zoe.
This is Jay Redfern. I'm talking to Taylor Thiel, a former standout basketball and baseball player for the Silver Streaks. When did you know, you kind of talked about this, but when did you know that your class was good enough to win or at least challenge for a state title? I mean, how early?
Well, you know, for us, you know, it was once we got to high school, obviously Joey got moved up to the varsity. So, you know, I started anyway at the freshman level. And we had to know, you know, not having Joey, you know, after playing through summer and stuff like that definitely affected us. But I think we went like 19-6 our 19-4 our freshman year, sophomore year again. We didn't have Joey, but we were still good. I think we went 19-6. So we were always right there and competitive. And I think once we hit our junior year and we got Joey back is kind of when we were like, "Okay, let's, you know, let's we could potentially make a run at this." You know, adding him back to the core to our class. And, you know, Joey, I think he'll say the same thing. You know, he loved playing with his guys, and he missed us the 2 years he didn't, you know, 2.5, 3 years he didn't get to play with us. But yeah, I think, you know, at the beginning of our junior year, you know, Mike Miller, new coach, you know, came in, kind of changed the tone on us. We started doing things a little bit different. So, you know, he brought that energy as a younger coach. You know, and I think that was a huge factor as well. Just kind of, we started doing things a little different. There was a little bit more, you know, energy going into that initial season for him. You know, have him having a state championship, you know, experience where he went and played for a state championship. You know, so we got to hear the stories on that. So it made it real to have somebody that had been through it and then with us. So yeah, I'd probably say, you know, the junior year we really thought, even though, you know, we couldn't get over that Moline hurt our junior year, but we thought we were right there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So you go 22-6, I think, in 96, 97 under first year coach Mike Miller. It was a great year, but you couldn't figure out Moline. You lost to him three times that year. What was the deal with Moline, and what was that season like overall?
Yeah, I mean, they had two outstanding players and Ian Hanavan and Travis Wilson. You know, Wilson went to Arizona, Hanavan played at USC or Illinois Chicago, and then went overseas and had a nice career. Just really good. And they were coached by, you know, ex-Galesburg Frank Dexter. So, you know, the competitiveness on that side, he had played for my grandfather as well. The hurdle, you know, there were always competitive games, and it was a decent rivalry when we got in there, but, you know, we were just missing just that one little piece, you know, where we didn't have an answer for Hanavan at all times. You know, we could, Joey and Travis were pretty much going to cancel themselves out, but, you know, yeah, at Hanavan's level, you know, we struggled a little bit. You know, rebounding that year, I think, was a problem for us. So they had the better of us. So I do remember, you know, the junior year Wharton game I had to miss too, because I had been ejected from the Peoria Washington game.
Okay.
Tuesday night before was a makeup game from a cancellation, so I didn't even get to play in the Wharton Fieldhouse game my junior year. And we lost by 5, I think. So I was always hard on myself, saying, "Man, I was good for 5 points. We could have won that one." Moline, you know, definitely was our nemesis, you know, at that time. Hey, to take this next step, we got to figure out a way to beat them.
Right. So fast forward to your senior year, or even the summer, you know, you add a key player, obviously Rod Thompson transfers from Chicago. What did he add to the team?
Yeah, I mean, just a premier athlete, you know, from the Chicago area. He had a toughness about him as well, you know, growing up in different circumstances than the rest of us. You know, that year, it was, you know, when we heard the rumors that he was possibly coming down, and I think he just had a nice season at Chicago Carver, and we're like, man, that would be, if we had him, then that was really getting us excited. And I know there was a little controversy at the beginning of the season where we were trying to make sure he was eligible and play. Right. Once he got the green light, it was like, hey, you know, this could be our missing link. Let's you know, let's put our foot on the gas here and really try to make a run at this thing. But yeah, he brought it just a different level of toughness. He was a little quirky, he had a different attitude about him, but he did fit in with us. I mean, we were all pranksters, and you know, Joey had been aware of him playing and things that Joey had played if he'd been with him. So I think the transition for Rod was easy, just because, you know, hey, we were welcoming him. We knew that he could be our missing piece, and it didn't take him long to fit in. So
yeah. So was the state title even more of a real, you know, real?
I think absolutely. Right. So we, you know, we lost the 3 times to Moline, and we're like, how are we going to beat him? We added Rod, and we're like, here we go, we got a chance.
Yeah.
You know, that was the accelerator, basically. Right. Like, hey, we can do this.
Yeah. So Joey Range tells me that the 98 streaks were great because, quote, everyone knew and perfected their roles. Can you briefly describe the roles of your starters, your teammates, and maybe a couple of the key reserves on that team that went 30-3 and finished second in the state?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, first off, you know, when you got an athlete like Joey Range, you know, the rest of us, when we were good friends, you know, we were always good friends, hung out with each other. Growing up, we were together every day in the summer playing at the fire station or whatever we're doing, hanging out at each other's house.
Yeah, he just told me he's like you're his brother. So
yes, I mean, we had a unique bond, like me, Joey, and Glasgow, especially, you know, between the three of us. I mean, we were always together. You know, Steve, you know, as far as him bringing in, he ran point guard for most of the season for us. Ultimate competitor, you know, was very, very good competitor. He got the most out of his body, what he could do for a 6 foot, you know, 6 foot one person. You know, and of course, having Terry Glasgow, you know, legendary coach from Monmouth around the program, just a great basketball mind. So we had him on the team. Extra, very basketball savvy, very smart. Tapper, you know, obviously he was a great golfer, you know, as a silver streak, but just tall, 6'4", lanky. He was great. He could play post, and he could hit threes. So he was kind of that intermediate player that could do a lot of things for us, was heavy on the boards. We relied on him a lot to help us with the boards, whether Joey was, you know, taking a break or he's out or there's some foul trouble or whatnot. He really stepped up our senior year, I think. And then, you know, of course, me, I knew my role. I got it what I could out of my body. Not being the most athletic person out there, I understood that. You know, hey, my role was to make a shot when I had it.
Yeah.
So I had to key in on, you know, I take a little pressure off the inside by being available, you know, getting open on the outside to try to bring that pressure up the inside so Joey could operate and have space for himself to create. Trying to think, Rob is Rod, you know, just a force underneath, great for the rebounding. Also had a nice little mid-range game for us. Big point contributor a lot of nights. Sometimes, you know, if Joey had I wouldn't say not so great night, but he always had a great night, it seemed like. You know, Rod would be able to pick up the slack a little bit on that just because of his physicality, his size, his competitiveness. We had Patrick Hanlon, you know, coming off the bench. You know, he was a great contributor, very athletic, you know, quarterback for the football team, you know, 6'3", 6'4", nice size guy. He could hit some pull-ups. He was very creative on some shots, rebounded, worked hard. And then I think even, you know, we brought up, you know, Boshe.
Yeah.
From the sophomore team, and he really stepped up and gave us some big minutes, you know, down, you know, from mid to the later part of the season, where we started filling him in more. And he really helped us from a ball handling perspective, from a defensive perspective. He could come in and just, you know, he would be like a little pit bull, you know, making people work hard to get what they had. You know, we were very, very we had 9 seniors on the roster, I believe, that year. So, I mean, it's we were very, you know, led by experience. It was our senior year. Hey, you know, this is our last go around. So we meant business. You know, like a couple other guys, we had, you know, Ryan Wood could come in and shoot it. We had the Pew twins. The Pew twins were just, you know, freak athletes. They'd come in and, you know, rebound defensive, and they weren't, you know, they didn't have to score. So a lot of us, you know, we already knew, it was like, hey, Joey's going to get his points. You know, Rod's going to score. We just have to hit a couple shots every once in a while when we're there and just play our defense and try to win our matchup. And we were going to be in a good position no matter what. So,
yeah. I talked to Mike Miller ahead of our interview, and he said that you were a key to the team because your shooting ability gave Rod and Joey room to operate. And he described you as a super humble, no ego guy on a team that had some strong personalities. Did you kind of see it that way?
Yeah. I mean, I was super competitive, you know. I was the one that, you know, I tried to, in my younger years, you know, you talk to people, they'd be like, oh, he was wild, man. He would get technical fouls and this, but I just wanted to win. Right. So, and then we knew, you know, with the caliber of player Joey was, it's like, man, we don't want to do anything to screw this up. So we need to take this seriously, you know, and help our brother, you know, get him to where he needs to be. And just, you know, so we all kind of, like I said, knew our role. For me, I would say I was humble because I knew I wasn't the greatest athlete. I wasn't dunking by any means. So I just focused on, you know, shooting the ball and trying to keep my man in front of me as best I could. And
you
worked out that way. But
Coach Miller said your defense was underrated too. He predicted that you would downplay your contributions. So, but he said the team wouldn't have been what they were without you. So
I got one good story. You know, Coach Duncan Reagan was still coaching at Rocky, and I remember an article came out and it said that, you know, they got Taylor Thiel out there who's not an athlete at all, can't guard anybody. And I think the first half when they played at our place my senior year, I kind of took that to heart. I think I hit 4 threes in the first half against him and got a couple steals right in front of his bench. And I may or may not have said something to him as I was going up the sideline. But
yeah. So you talked about him a little bit, but describe Mike Miller as a coach. What was he like to play for, and what made him a good coach?
I just think, he walked into a great situation, right? I mean, he was probably like, great, I got Joey Brains, and now I'm going to, you know, this great superstar that I get to coach. You know, he was younger then, right? So he came in, and I think we related to him well because of that factor. Nothing against, you know, Barry. I grew up with Barry's streaks camps, and, you know, he was engaged. We just didn't get a chance to play for him. But I think he just brought a different, a youthful energy to it. And then, you know, the relationship he had with each of us. I mean, we'd have individual meetings with players, with parents. So he really dove in, I think, and evaluated us as soon as he got there. And he was goal-oriented, so he would set goals. And I think he made it clear what he expected out of us, which is all we needed to hear, right? So we got a system now. Let's just work on it. And he'd been to the state championship, so there's a trust factor there from us. Like, hey, you know how to do this. What do we need to do? And we just did it. You know, we followed what he had to go. It was a new system for us, which was working. And Coach Miller was, you know, he was awesome to play for.
Yeah. This is Jay Redfern. I'm talking to Taylor Thiel, a former baseball and basketball standout for the Silver Streaks back in the late 1990s. So, you know, I started watching Galesburg basketball about the time your uncle Mark was finishing up, early 70s. And with all due respect to Umpy Nixon and Dale Kelly, I'll say Joey's the best ever. What made him the player he was?
I'll tell you, there was just something like he had that edge without being like egotistical, like knowing that he was a superstar, right? So we all knew the talent he was, but he kept it to where I think he knew, like, he's like, I can't do it myself. So I think from that perspective, it really hit home too. I mean, our senior year, you remember the one loss we took when we went to that KMIXA shootout against that Missouri team who just destroyed us. And it was in a situation where, you know, I can say, now, you know, Rod and Joey were being a little selfish since it was a showcase tournament. They were trying to do too much. We didn't play our best game and we got blown out of the gym. So I think, you know, that was a blessing in disguise for us. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, it's like, all right, we just played a top caliber team and got our socks knocked off. And we're going to have to figure out how to play together, you know, better. And I think Joey was good at that because, you know, he having the relationship we had as friends, first of all, and just the trust level, you know, we were able to get when one of us was doing something wrong, we could talk to each other. We could, you know, even if we were yelling at each other, we wouldn't take it personal. It was, you know, trying to raise each other up to the next level. And we knew, you know, we had to help him. So him as a player and playing with him, I mean, is unbelievable. I look back on it, I'm like, I'm just so fortunate I got to play with somebody of his caliber. He went on to do great things, you know, of course, at Iowa, and what he's doing now is just unbelievable. I was super, super proud of him. I was super grateful for him. You know, obviously because, you know, we wouldn't have been what we were without him.
Right. Sure.
But like I said, he was the most humble teammate you could have. You know, he was a jokester, prankster, and he loved us and we loved him. So there was no like a typical superstar ego where I'm going to score, you know, 30, 40 a game. I'm going to yell at you if you don't pass me the ball, that sort of thing. We didn't want to mess up for him, and he knew what he had as far as responsibility on his shoulders to make sure he was doing what he was doing, to get us where he wanted to be. So,
you know, unfortunately, you guys had to overcome some adversity that season when Jason Wessel suffered the case with meningitis on Christmas Day. Talk about how you guys dealt with that and how much Jason inspired you even the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously reliving that is just not something that I would ever want to do or wish upon it. I mean, we were at the point, you know, when he first got sick and went to the hospital, we were all unaware of like kind of what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then it was one of those things where like, all right, we're going over to the hospital to visit him. Well, we couldn't see him. And then it was, okay, now things are getting serious. And then when the doctors were coming out saying, hey, he's got about, I think at the time was like, there was like a 5% chance to live. And then all of a sudden you're in shock, right? You're like, Wait a minute. Like now this is real. And it hits you a little different at that age, right? You're like, okay, this is somebody my age. And you know, as much as we are 17, 18-year-old kids thinking we're invincible, at any moment it could be gone. So it was unfortunate. Still talk to Jason, you know, every once in a while. I've been texting back and forth with him during the season. You know, I appreciate, you know, what he's doing for the radio station and following the girls and the boys. But yeah, he was definitely, you know, at that time, going to see him at the hospital and then having, you know, we actually, you know, went into the hospital to tell him goodbye at one point. So it left a mark on us all for sure. It was very emotional. We were trying to complete our season, worried about our team, our teammate. It solidified us, right? And it was amazing to see kind of the community come together. What Galesburg did, you know, as far as, you know, whether we were raising money, we went on the road and we'd have the opposing teams raising money for Jason and being aware of what we were going through, just having that support and the way the community really stepped up and all of us kind of coming together, I think could have been, you know, a solidifying moment for us, right? It's like, it can all be taken away from us in a minute. That kind of helped us refocus and, mm-hmm. Hey, let's kind of finish what we were started out to do here. And you know, I wouldn't say, you know, hey, we're going to do it for Jason, but Jason had a big impact on us on, hey, you know, we're having a teammate that we would have contributed, you know, quite honestly for us.
Yeah.
And then not having him with us for a part of the season, obviously, you know, that's a refocus and you wanted to do well for him just for what he was going through.
Yeah. Talk about how strong high school basketball was in Illinois in 97, 98. I mean, it was loaded with great teams and players.
I mean, that class, I mean, you could just look it up and just see the names on there, right? Like Corey Maggette, you know, you got Quentin Richardson, you got Frank Williams, you had all these guys. And just like you said, I mean, that it was just stacked talent-wise, you know. And then, of course, you got your Moline guys, and you got, you know, Quincy even had, you know, they had Lewis Rivas and the Douglas twins, and they had an outstanding sophomore at the time, JD Sumner, who went on to have a, you know, finish his last 2 years at Quincy real high. You know, our conference was stacked. You know, I think we were voted, you know, toughest conference, obviously, you know, with Quincy getting third in the state, you know, and being third in our conference.
Yeah.
So it was very, you know, I mean, we were aware. I mean, it's like, hey, look at these players. You look at it now, I mean, you know, now that is it a four-class system now or for basketball?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's like, well, if that was the class system back then, it's like, what would we have done then, right? But we held our own, you know, and then just seeing the big names and, you know, obviously Joey having a spotlight on us because he was in that group, you know, we got a little bit more recognition as a team. because of him. And then, that class of 98, I mean, just unreal.
Yeah. Okay. It's tournament time, you know, and it's not an easy path to stay. You had to get past your nemesis, Moline, and the sectional and Rockford Boylan in the super. What do you remember about those two games?
I'll tell you, we had beaten Moline twice and we're heading into that sectional championship. And, it's, you know, everybody always, oh, it's so hard to beat a team three times.
Hmm.
I don't know if we were any looser than we ever were before, really? Before that. Like we were just like we knew we were going to handle this. We're going to handle our business. I mean, I remember from the jump ball, you can go back and watch the film. I'm on the circle and I'm looking up at Joey and Joey's looking at me and he's making a joke and I'm laughing like on the circle right before the tip. And I just knew like from right there, I'm like, man, our confidence was on overdrive right there. That we were gonna take care of him that night, and we did. You know, it was a tough game for a little while, and then we took over and kind of made it a handy game in the fourth there. But get to Boylan, I can tell you the Boylan game was probably for me anyway. That was the most intense game.
Yeah, that would
you know
cool.
we're playing at the nice arena. Yeah. We're closer. All their fans are there. It's a packed house. They're a good team. Their only loss was to us. So we're walking in, they're wanting revenge. Just a dogfight from the beginning to the end. Joey got in a little bit of foul trouble. We were back and forth. You know, we maintained the lead for most of the night, and then all of a sudden we had a little scare. They took the lead on us in the last, you know, few minutes there. I remember Rod, you know, getting a baseline dunk to get us.
I remember that too. That's kind of like the trademark of that season. I don't know. I remember that distinctly of Rod getting that baseline dunk, and that was.
And that, you know, when he did that, and then I think, you know, we had another possession where we got a steal, and then I can't remember if it was Steve or Tapper, somebody got an and one, like we knew, we were like, we got to do this, and like we were pumped up. And I do remember, like, as soon as we won that game, and like the crowd, like part of the crowd rushed the floor, and it was like all the oxygen went out, and I was like, I almost felt like I was going to pass out because it was like such a hard game, and then everybody was on the court, and it was just, we were all, you know, celebrating. It was great. So,
yeah. So you're
that's too crazy. I would say, yeah, that game right there was like, the most intense that for me that season.
Yeah. So that was your, so you win that game and you make Galesburg's first state appearance in 22 years. What did it mean just to even, I know that you guys had further goals, but did you have time to sit back and think, you know, we're at state now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you set the goal out at the beginning of the season. It's like, hey, let's get to state. And, you know, we did it. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, we're happy because, you know, Joey was always been in that discussion as one of Galesburg's greatest. And they're like, you're never going to be in that boat unless you get us a state. And we were able to accomplish that. You know, it felt good to do that for him. It felt good to do that for us all. But we weren't done. Like we were happy to get that. Hey, we made it. Now let's get greedy. Let's make a run at this. And so we did reflect on it for a minute, especially after that big win against Boylan. And then just enjoying the, you know, everybody in the community celebrating with us, you know, in the preparations of making it over to Peoria, where it was held at the time. And it was a fun experience, you know, to get there for sure. Bringing up all, you know, all the talk of the history and everything. It was great. So,
yeah. So your first game, you get Centralia, you beat them 71-56. That was a pretty easy win. And then semifinals, was it Maine West? You beat them 73-70. That was a tough game. They had a couple D1 guys on their team too.
Yep. The Lucas Johnson played at Illinois, and then Fry played at Xavier.
Yep.
Two solid, you know, inside players. You know, both 6'6", 6'7" guys that we matched them, and we had a dogfight with them. Like we were in control, I would say, most of the game. We kind of had a lead, and then they made a little bit of run at us out there at the end. And I think, you know, Bo, I think, ended up securing it with a few free throws down the stretch that got us there. But another super hard competitive game. That, you know, that carried us into the going to the state championship. So,
yeah. So then you draw Whitney Young. Was that who you expected kind of all season? Had you kind of.
So we had known, like, this team, they built that super team, you know, to try to knock off Manuel, of course. You know, Manuel didn't end up making it through.
Yeah.
That year, but that team was specifically, you know, put together to knock off Manuel. So we had heard, and you know, I didn't get to play him in the summer, but we actually played him in a summer league game, where I think, and Wessels may know the story better than I do. He tells it, but I think we had actually beat them in like a summer league game or something like that at one point. But you know, Glasgow and I played Legion baseball, so we weren't even there. So we were aware of who they were and what they had. Obviously, Quentin Richardson being the player he was. You know, their point guard Cordell Henry played in Marquette, and then of course they had Dennis Gates, head coach at Esbury. We knew it was going to be tough, but yeah, I mean, when you look at it, we got to the state championship. We're playing there. We're like, all right, now we're playing the top team in the state. And I think they were ranked second in the country. So it's like at the time, and it's like, I wasn't, you know, obviously we're looking at it going, all right, what are our matchups going to be? Because the whole front line, you know, besides Cordell Hunter, their point guard was, you know, 6'4" bigger.
Yeah.
So, you know, we knew it was going to be tough. I think we did a good job of kind of deflecting the pressure off of us at that.
I was going to ask, was there any nerves or, you know?
No, I mean, we turned it to where it was like, you know, hey, this is on them, because like literally they're supposed to run through this thing and be the top team in the state. And at that point, it's like, now here we are from Little Galesburg, you know, we had 1,200 kids, they got 5,000.
Yeah.
You know, so we were definitely the underdog, right? But we didn't put any added pressure on ourselves to, you know, to have to, you know, I think we were as loose as you could be. And I could tell you, you know, a quick story about this. We're in the locker room before the game, and we got, you know, at state, we were assigned like certain ball boys and guys that would bring us towels and stuff like that. Well, we'd always have our radio blasting and kind of getting pumped up before the game, music going, just kind of trying to stay loose. We had all the towel and ball boys hanging out in ours, and they would go, everybody else is too serious. You guys are having a good time and being loose. So, I mean, that was kind of the mentality of our team, right? It's like, we knew we were good, and we knew we were good enough and we could possibly pull it off. So, I don't think there was any added pressure for us. Yes, it was the biggest game we've ever played in, and we're playing against the top team in the state. So,
how about the in warmups and the minutes leading up? Do you think, did they respect you? And was there something little going on at half court before that game, or?
There's a little scuffle. You know, we like to take the center court, and they like to take the center court. So, you know, right off the bat, there was a little gamesmanship there, I think, between both teams and both coaches. We kind of got in a little scuffle there right before. But I also think, you know, I had sent the message, we're not backing down. So, you know, we were ready. We were ready to go as good as we could be.
Yeah, so you end up losing that game 61-56. I mean, it was a tight game pretty much the whole way through.
Yeah, we played.
Was that the best team you played, do you think?
Probably overall athletics, like athleticism wise, those guys were just, they were all, I think the top seven guys were all D1 prospects. So I'm just, from a pure athleticism of everybody, you know, a player 1 through 8, athlete wise, most probably the best. The best athlete I think I played against that year was when we lost to Corey McGetty and Fenwick.
Yeah.
In Chicago, I'd say he was a man amongst boys at that time for physicality wise. But I mean, team wise, you know, I Boylan and Moline, I mean, if Moline goes through a different sectional, they're there too. I mean, I just feel like as an overall a team that can play together, they maybe weren't even as good as playing together as we were, or Moline or Rockford Boylan. And that's just, I think they hadn't played together very long, right? They had that one season on their belt where they put that team together. And it may have showed, you know, at the end, you know, we all knew our roles and knew what we had to do. And we went in there and did it as best we could. We played them even the second half, right? We were down by 5 at halftime. We lost by 5. So I kind of hang my hat on that. It's like, hey, you know, 1 or 2 possessions go a little different there. We're right there.
Yeah. You know, obviously second place is great. You'll be forever remembered as one of the best teams in Galesburg history. But how much difference is there finishing second and winning a state championship? I mean, does that always kind of stick with you?
Second's the first loser, right? It's like, no, we remember the second place guys, except for you guys. But yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's disheartening. And in the heat of the moment, you're very, you know, you're disappointed. You know, you could see it on our faces. I don't think any tears were shed or anything like that by, you know, the us that played, because we knew we left it out there and gave it our best effort and what we were up against. But, you know, you look back on it now and it's like, man, what an accomplishment, right? And so you feel a lot better about it, you know, the further it goes. You remember those tough games. You remember the losses, obviously harder, especially that one. You know, being in the situation, being playing for a state championship. But
you couldn't one up your dad and your grandfather, who they've both been in second. You probably wanted to get that state title to take family rights.
Yeah, some bragging rights. Almost got it for sure.
So our conversation has been dominated by basketball. You know, it's basketball season, but you also excelled in baseball. Did you have a favorite sport to play?
You know, I'd have to say it was probably a toss up. You know, in high school. At the time, you know, I got moved up to the varsity level in baseball as a sophomore. So I knew I had, you know, some skills there and could play and contribute. And of course, Coach Brewington was a great coach. And then on the summer program, you know, we had Mike Surgeon, who was a great coach. And just baseball is obviously a little bit different because, yes, it's a team sport, but it's more individual. I probably had more fun playing basketball with the group we had, you know, during high school. But I realized at the end of the day, hey, if I wanted to, you know, continue my sports career, I'm probably going to have to lean towards this baseball. So I started focusing on it a little more, which, you know, in the senior, you know, our senior year, I did have to miss a couple basketball tournaments and things like that because we had Legion baseball responsibilities and things like that. So I'd say I enjoyed playing basketball more, you know, during the high school years. But then, you know, when I got into college and I did try to play basketball for a couple seasons, just a total different game at the college level. And then I just knew my skills were leading more towards baseball. So that's why I really started focusing on that when I got to college.
Okay. You have two kids. Your daughter, Kennedy, is 19. She's a, sophomore at SMU, kind of following in Zach's footsteps going down there. And then your son, Stone, is a junior down at Pantego Christian Academy, where he's a pretty good basketball player. What kind of basketball player is he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the field competitiveness always comes out in us, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, I try to tell him, and, you know, his grandfather's good at it, his uncle's good at it, you know, following him and trying to keep him in, you know, keep him check.
Yeah.
We're always, you know, analyzing his game for him and talking. But, you know, he's his own player. And I would say, you know, he shoots the ball as good as anybody. I could tell you he's got more range than I ever had. Like, he's got Steph Curry range, right? He just pulls from where he can pull. So he's really focused on it. He's really been coming into his own this last year. I've been happy just watching the work he's put in, and just seeing him grow. You know, he's a young junior. You know, his birthday's not till April, so he's still 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, physically he's a little bit behind still, but, you know, he's got another year, you know, to continue his growth. And then I don't know where it's going to end up with it. You know, he seems to enjoy the game and he continues to work at it. So it's been a pleasure, you know, just seeing the growth and being able to be around it. I coached him, you know, obviously when he was younger, all the way up, and I passed him off when he got to high school, kind of similar to what my dad did with me. But just being able to see the growth and his passion for it, it makes you feel good, because I love sports and I'm glad that he loves sports, and it's something we can share a bond together with, and you know, have our favorite teams and have rivalries and do that thing. So
you ever wish he could have played for the Silver Streaks?
You know, it crosses my mind from time to time. How cool would that be, right? So if, like, you know, if I was back there and then I had another generation of Thiel playing at Thiel Gym, that would just be like the ultimate. You know, that would be.
You ever show him? You ever show him tapes or, you know, any film, YouTube, yeah, anything from the '98 team?
Yeah,
he
says all you had was Joey, and you were, you know, blah blah blah. That, but he reminds me every day how I missed the three in the state championship game at the top of the key when it was in the fourth quarter in Portland. So I get that from him all the time, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Not about the other ones I made, but the one I missed.
Yeah,
that's he's like that. But yeah, he's watched several of our games. You know, I've taken him when we go back to Galesburg. I come back two or three times a year. We'll go shoot, you know, over the gym. Somebody will open the gym for us, and we'll get in there, and he'll get the shoot. And you know, see, so he's aware of the history and the Thiel name in Galesburg, and he would probably love to come back there too and play.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it would be amazing, but, you know.
Okay. Well, we could talk about a lot more, but let's finish with the rapid fire round. I'll say something and you give me your first thought. So how about Silver Streaks heroes you watched or idolized growing up?
Oh man, plethora. Jason Shea, Elmer Dickerson, that season really wanted me to become a Silver Streak. I loved watching those guys. You know, like Tommy Warner from the guard position, loved watching those guys play. Ted Trueblood, hard nose, who was there a couple years before I got to high school. Just the history, you know, of those guys, and just seeing those teams that really, you know, hey, I want to be a Silver Streak for sure. So,
okay. John Thiel, Zach Thiel, Mark Thiel, Taylor Thiel, who wins in one-on-one and who wins in a game of horse?
Oh boy. You know, the patriarch is John Thiel, and he was the ultimate competitor, and Mark and Zach will tell you the same thing, that, you know, hey, they didn't get him in one-on-one, so probably their senior years either.
Yeah.
And that was a tough feat. If you were winning, he wouldn't let you win. So, you know, my dad always tells me, you know, hey, we always had the debate about a 68 team and our 98 team. His guards, you know, he says his guards were better than ours. They'd have problems with Joey, obviously, but, you know, so we had that debate every once in a while. You know, Zach was obviously, he got a D1 scholarship. He was probably a better basketball player than I concede to that. Mark, you know, all time assist leader, you know, he was kind of following in Zach's footsteps there. But you know, for me, you know, I was my own individual. It was great to have those, them to look up to, the competitiveness I got from them, being part of that. I'm just glad that I was able to, you know, save some face and have success, you know, at GHS.
Yeah. Okay. Rapid fire. What's one player that your dad always talks about from the 1960s?
Oh man. He talks about, Reinenbach. He talks about, Freddie Mims. He talks about, you know, his teammate went down there, Ruben Triplett, and how good they were. You know, obviously he grew up watching Dale Kelly. You know, he was a little ahead of his time there, but you know, being around that 66 team with those players as well. So he talks a lot about those guys and how hard it was.
Okay. Trivia question. Before the state tournament, we did like a little questionnaire with you guys and ask, you know, favorite movies, food, actors and stuff. So here's the trivia question. What teammate on the 98 team said his favorite food was Jell-O?
Jell-O?
Jell-O.
Jell-O. Who was our Jell-O guy? Seems like a quirky answer. I'd have to say either probably Hamlin or Range.
Nick Young.
Nick Young. Oh, our athletic director. Jell-O.
He's a big Jell-O fan, so.
Okay.
You remember what yours was?
Food wise?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Barbecue.
Barbecue? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in Texas. That's fitting.
Yeah, that's right.
Live that one out.
Yeah. How about favorite high school gym other than Galesburg?
Oh man. Loved going to Wharton. Just the historic venue that was. And then probably the, you know, the Quincy going down there for their intro and being in an older gym there. Those are probably my two favorite.
Okay. How about favorite Galesburg teacher?
Ooh, teacher wise. Oh man. Now you're putting me on the spot. I can't pick one. I mean, I was a decent student. You know, I think I graduated with 3.55. So you know, we had Mr. Spencer in the science department I really liked. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, I couldn't pick one, Jay. That's just okay. It's not fair. Okay.
How about must visit restaurant when you're back in Galesburg?
You know, we always did our pregame, you know, at the sophomore, we always did our pregame with, at La Gondola, get some spaghetti and bread in us. So I always hit up the, La Gondola, get a torpedo, Coney Island. I got my favorites, right? Taco Hideout. Those are probably the top three when I head back.
Okay. And that wraps up my conversation with former Streaks basketball and baseball star Taylor Steele. Like I've said, you know, watching and covering that 98 team is hands down the best sports experience I've ever had, and you played a key role in that. And I've had the privilege to interview your grandfather, your dad, uncle, and of course you, and I'll say you've done a great job carrying on the Steele legacy. So I want to thank you for joining me today on Galesburg in Focus.
Thanks for having me, Jay. This has been fun.